Welcome back. It's another week of the Passion of Seven podcast, and we're back here in the Passion House. I've got Louis Giglio here with me, just fresh back off the road from driving around all over the place.
Do I look fresh? That's a nice way
you
to say
do.
That.
You've had some time to rest, and you're looking like you're feeling better.
Yeah, we had an amazing first leg of the How Great Is Our God tour. Incredible time. I mean, we have, you know, Chris and I both have a tendency to overstate things. Chris way more than me, but it's always the best with Chris. Best meal, you know, best time of worship, best
right.
whatever. But we were sitting on the bus the other night in Houston after the night of worship there on Saturday, mm-hmm. and Jesse, Chris's best bass player, and Shelley and myself were just sitting there talking, and everybody kind of looked at the same time and said, that's the best leg we've ever been on of anything we've ever been on. And I don't know that I could say otherwise. It's just been, it was a hard, fast first run. We did 8 nights yeah. in 10 days and covered a lot of ground. It was great to see in America. But we finished up Saturday night in Houston. Incredible. Came home in time Sunday night to see my Bears lose in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's sad.
But go Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy. Who can root against those guys, the nicest guys in the world? Yep. And now we're back in the Passion House for a few days, which is great. Before
it
we
is.
Head out on the road again.
It's good to have you back.
It's incredible being back.
About to jet out again in just a little bit and go off on this next whole leg. But tell us a little bit about, you know, for these people that are listening that maybe they weren't on the West Coast and the tour's coming to them. What's the tour about? How's it been? What's the feedback been from people who've been there?
I just say, you know, I know this is going to sound like a sales pitch, and I don't know any other way to say it than that, but I hope people will come out and be a part of this tour. I mean, yeah. Charlie's out on tour right now. Visit Charlie Hall's website, figure
right.
out where he's playing. Crowder's playing a few dates this spring because he's going to be recording a little bit later in the spring. Find Crowder and go see him. And come hang out with us on this How Great Is Our God tour.
Yeah.
We are having an amazing time. Our hope in this tour, as you know, Eddie, is way more than just Christian concert tour.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with concerts. I just bought tickets to a concert here in Atlanta in April. I'm fired up about. I would like to talk about that maybe later in the podcast. But you don't even know this yet. You're going to be excited when you find out. You may have known as well, but you're going to be excited.
I don't know. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, so we'll push their deal too. But nonetheless, I love concerts.
Right.
I love going to see music of all kinds. But this night is not your normal come to the concert, settle into your seat, an opening band comes out, somebody you never heard of probably, but hey, we want you to hear about them. And then the next band comes out, and then finally maybe another band, or then the headliner band comes out. But this night is designed to be a night of worship from beginning to end for people to meet God.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. And Chris and Matt and I have a similar heart in what the night is. And so it's not
right.
me doing my thing and Chris doing his thing and Matt doing his thing, but it's just all one thing. And Chris opens the night, which is really cool. People
mm-hmm.
came to see Chris Tomlin.
Right.
And most of them don't know who I am and can't pronounce my name anyway.
a
few of them have heard of Matt. And so, you know, they came to see Chris, and nobody's kidding anybody about that. And so Chris opens the night. And it's like, wow, there's the guy we came to see, and we just barely got in our seats.
Yeah.
But I think people catch on pretty fast because of the way Matt and Chris interact together, and
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit of a seamless transition back and forth. And then the way the message kind of lodges, and I use that word intentionally, into the night, it just, I think, keeps us on track. And we designed this night, Eddie, for people who are at the toughest places in life.
Hmm.
And so the How Great Is Our God tour is going to have something for everybody, but it isn't really designed and all, you know, put in motion for happy Christians.
Right,
but it's
yeah.
designed for people that are like, life is hard and life falls apart. People
mm-hmm.
get divorced. People abandon other people. Injustice happens. Businesses collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Diagnoses come back different than what we want them to be. People die. Illness strikes. Darkness comes. Depression moves in. Addiction is incredibly binding. That's the reality of life
yeah.
in the church and outside the church. That's what people are dealing with. And so we've designed this night to be a night of hope for people that are at the hardest places in their journey. And the night kind of hinges on this phrase that we know very well in the church. But if you're outside of the church, it's an incredible phrase to get to know. And it comes from one of the books in the Old Testament. It says,
mm-hmm.
"But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength."
Hmm.
And the word wait and hope are interchangeable there. And that phrase isn't a nice little happy Christian phrase. Oh, for those who wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. Isn't that wonderful, folks? But it comes in the context of a people who have lost their way completely and have felt like all of what God said and all of what God promised them is collapsing around them.
Right.
And that they may never really see the fullness and the goodness of what they had hoped for in their lives.
Yeah.
And so in this Isaiah 40 passage, Isaiah talks about this great God who's made the universe, holds nations in his hands, names stars, stretches out the heavens like a curtain, mm-hmm. just reminding them, don't ever think God doesn't see and know who you are. This is the God who knows the name of every stinking star in the universe, yeah. for crying out loud. And then it comes down to the back end of it and says, he certainly, if he knows their names, knows yours. And if he's holding the whole cosmos together, you can be sure he's holding you together. And it comes into that. So for those who wait upon the Lord, and waiting there, the context of that Hebrew word is not we're just going to sit tight and see what God does. You know, we're just going to wait and sit here until something changes. But it's not that. It's enduring through circumstances, no matter what we see around us, with a confident resolve that God is at work in our lives, that he is at work in the circumstances. And we say this every night on the tour, and it's a kind of a big line in my talk, and I don't want to give it away for people necessarily, but we say every night that the cross is proof. And people, when I think when I say that, they're ready for that God loves us, that you know, God cares about us, which he does love us, and he does care about us, and the cross shows us that. But we say the cross is proof that God doesn't always change the circumstances. He certainly didn't change him for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In those hours that he suffered and died for us and cried out and begged for his Father, you know, and he himself could have said a word and brought down 10,000 angels and just obliterated everybody on the scene. But that's proof to us, the cross, is that the circumstances don't always change. Sometimes they do miraculously change.
Yeah.
But a lot of times they don't visibly change. And we pray and pray and pray and pray, and the person still get sick and dies. Or we pray and pray and pray and pray, and the difficulty doesn't pass in a day or a week or a month. Or we pray for somebody to be set free from an addiction, and they move from one rehab to the second rehab, and we're like, wait a minute, the circumstances aren't changing. God, right. I thought you changed circumstances, and he does change circumstances. Mm-hmm. And in times, he does it miraculously. At times, he does it gradually and slowly. But the cross has proved to us that the circumstances don't always change, but it's also proof to us that God always has a purpose in the circumstances,
yeah.
and he's always at work in the circumstances, whatever they are, and he can triumph through those circumstances in our lives as the same way he did in the life of his own son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He had a purpose in every hour of that cross, and he triumphed through the circumstance of the cross, even though it looked so bleak on the outside. God was accomplishing something amazing in and through it all. And that's what this night's about. And by the time we get to the song Everlasting God, the Holy Spirit is, I think, really stirring our hearts and ministering to people with just the remembrance of that, that God has committed to us. And so it's been a really amazing privilege, Eddie. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it, yeah. but we've been in front of 30,000 people in 8 cities.
That's
and we jumped off to a quick start in Phoenix. We were out in California, one of our favorite places in the world. we were in Corona, California, which was a new stop for me. Very close, though, I might add, to Newport Beach, which is one of my favorite places in the world. So we got an afternoon of sunshine in California. We're up in San Jose with some amazing people up there on the campus of San Jose State University.
Yeah.
Then to Las Vegas, which, you know, people every night we mentioned we were in Las Vegas, and we mentioned Las Vegas in the night because we tell a story about a woman that we met there last year.
Right.
And people are like, Las Vegas? You can't go to Las Vegas on a Christian tour. Are you kidding me? Las Vegas, Nevada? And we're like, oh, yeah. And this year, the cool part of it was we were right at the, I can't think of the name of it now.
The Cox Center.
The Cox Center. Thank you very much. The Cox Pavilion, which is adjacent to the arena where UNLV basketball team plays.
Yeah.
And the Pro Rodeo Finals happen in December every year.
It's a big highlight.
Which is a pretty amazing event if no one's ever been to it. But, I mean, you can literally see the strip from there. It's 4 blocks off the strip. And to see 2,100 people come through the door, I think is one of the largest Christian concerts ever in Las Vegas.
That's cool. That's
and
really
these
cool.
people I've learned in the past, they came from Utah. People drove in from
right.
all over Nevada. And, I mean, people came from all over. But it was just an amazing night. And then from there to Colorado Springs to Dallas, Dallas to Houston, and ending with 7,000 people in
That's
Houston
huge.
Saturday night. And the numbers of people was impressive. But the spirit of the place, man, it was absolutely blowing up in this place. And powerful, powerful time of just
yeah.
worshiping and turning our hearts to the Lord. So leg number one, all I can say is to you guys that were with us, thank you so much. And, you know, it was just an amazing, incredible journey for us. And
That's
if
cool.
the rest of the tour is anything like that, then we're in for something special.
One of the coolest things that you've shared with us, you know, with our team as you've been coming back is this night was built for people whose lives were hard and you felt like things were caving in, but we didn't broadcast that. It's not like we said, okay, come
yeah.
one, come all, but those people are there and they've been sharing feedback with us and telling us, you know, how about, you know, what God's been doing in their lives as a result of it. That's been really, really cool to hear.
It has been. And we prayed, you know, the first night in Phoenix, it was kind of an interesting night. We sold out the Friday night, so we added on a Thursday night. And, you know, it's been one of those deals where we ask God, you know, we're doing this thing and we want to see who are these people that are at the toughest place in life that we've been praying for and preparing for. And I got to meet on the second night in Phoenix the parents of a young guy that I got to share with their last year. We told this story on our blog. So if you're a blog reader, you already know what I'm talking about. If not, you can read the rest of it at 268blog.com. But
right.
I met this guy last year. He was related to the promoter's wife, and the promoter asked me to do a favor and just said he's been in trouble. He's been on the streets, been a lot of violence. He's been shot. He's been involved with some pretty serious things, and he's in town. And just based on some circumstance, I don't want to get into all of it, but he basically had to be there at the night of this concert.
Yeah.
And they said, while he's here, will you talk to him? And I had to be really honest. You know, we were at the end of a tour at that time. And when you're on a tour, days blur into one another. And you just, you know, you kind of get in a routine. And they're
right.
like, can you talk to this guy? And I'm like, what am I going to say to a guy that's battling addiction, that's at odds with his family, that's in trouble with the law, that's maybe involved with a gang? You know, what am I going to say to this guy
sure.
in a few minutes at this deal? But we sat through the intermission and through part of the set that followed that and talked about Jesus. And I just talked really straight up with him about how much God loved him and about how much God cared, no matter what he'd done in his past,
yeah.
that God could forgive him and restore him, that God really did care about him, and that he had a perfect father up in heaven who loved him and had paid a price to make all the wrongs in his life right.
Yeah.
And he looked back at me and he was like, I believe that, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I do believe that God has forgiven me and loves me. And as we talked, he kept saying, I'm afraid, you know, there's some people that are trying to hurt me. And I didn't know what to do with that necessarily. And we're getting on a bus and leaving, and his family, you know, they've been through this stuff for years and years and years. And, but lo and behold, we leave Phoenix. I pray with him. It was a great connection. I love this kid. One of the most beautiful kids I've ever seen. Just a
yeah.
gorgeous young man and such a tender heart, wrestler in high school and, you know, out there living on the street, but not intimidating to me at all. Just a really
yeah.
sweet kid. And we shared such a great moment, got to pray together, and we rolled on to California. I remember we went to Saddleback where we were on the next stop, and we got a phone call when we got there that Jason had been shot and killed that night in a really bad part of town in Phoenix. And it wasn't necessarily something he instigated. He was just trying to find a place to stay.
Yeah.
And he ended up staying with an old friend, and some people came into that house early in the morning and started a conflict with him. And at the end of it all, some people came back, and he got shot and killed right then and there.
Wow.
And it just broke my heart. You know, it went through my heart like a knife. I'd only spent, you know, 45 minutes with Jason, but it was just,
right.
it crushed my heart. And his family started calling back to me, you know, in California and saying, you're the last person that talked to Jason. What did y'all talk about? What did you say? What did he say? And so then we ended up back in Phoenix, same promoter's wife, wonderful people, by the way. And lo and behold, Jason's parents came on Friday night. They
yeah.
wanted to meet the guy who had talked to their son the night that he went to heaven.
That's cool.
And who had had this conversation about Jesus with their son. And, you know, they had a lot of regrets, to be really honest with you. And I had some regrets of my own. I thought maybe we should have put Jason on the bus with us and taken him with us when he said, I'm afraid.
Sure.
I think he knew what he was talking about, you know, and he knew that the possibilities for him to get in some serious altercations was real.
Yeah.
But I said to his parents, really sweet people, and to myself and to some of his other relatives as we got to talk and share together, I said, you know, let's don't focus on the what ifs. Let's focus on the miracle that happened the night that Jason died. Mm. And the miracle that happened is that you got an addict who's been on the streets, who really because of his own choices can't even come home. That's not the choices his family made. Those are the choices that he made.
Yeah.
And I said, so here's the last person that you would imagine that on the last night of his life on earth would be in a worship service. Mm. The last thing he saw in terms of a presentation on earth was me talking about Jesus Christ stretching his arms out. And I don't know if you remember the tour last year, but this, you know, 60-foot wide picture of Jesus Christ crucified for us, right, and talking about how though our sins are like scarlet, he'll wash them as white as snow, and as far as the east is from the west, he removes our transgressions from us. That image is in Jason's mind. We got to sit down and share. I got to tell him about a heavenly father that loved him. We prayed together. And that's the last few hours before he went to heaven. And that's a miracle. That is a God-sized miracle,
yeah,
that he brought Jason to that place. And so we shared, and there they were sitting on the third row. I could see them the whole night long. And so I'm sharing this talk about the everlasting God that has a purpose in every circumstance. And, you know, I was holding back tears all night long, just yeah, looking in the face of his parents and thinking about what they've been through and what they're still going to go through. And so we just prayed, Lord, just like tonight with Jason's mom and dad, would you put skin on this tour? This is stuff God put in our hearts, you know, way back before Christmas.
Right.
And yet now God's saying, Louis, I'm going to show you these people that this is all about. And so the next night, same thing happened, a story of a couple that lost a little boy to illness a few months ago. Mm. Same thing the next night, same thing in Las Vegas, Nevada. And every night, God's just putting skin around this person that we've been praying for that's in this difficult place. And
right,
it's just been overwhelming to see that happen and to see God touching them and encouraging them and them walking out going, this whole night was for me. How did you know?
Right.
And us going, well, because God told us that that's what the night was supposed to be about. And the whole time,
cool,
he knew about you.
And you got another, I mean, you got plenty of feedback from the tour, but another note that you got in your bunk one night, I think, is that what the story was?
Yeah,
this
was crazy. You know, the first night we played in Phoenix was on Thursday, and some people had handed different notes to our crew, which I didn't get because our crew went in and put them on my bunk on the bus, but we weren't living on the bus yet. We were still in a hotel because we hadn't rolled out. And so I kind of remember being on the bus Thursday night and seeing some stuff in my bunk, but I just didn't pay that much attention to it. And so one of them, by the way, was a note from somebody that was a part of our ministry at Baylor. If you're hearing the podcast, I'm sorry I didn't call you that night, but I didn't get the note that night. But the next night we get on the bus and we're rolling out to California, and I get in my bunk, pull my little curtain shut, you know, I help Matt into his bunk, pull my little curtain shut, say goodnight to Matt. And then I say, oh, I got these notes here. And they were just handed to our crew, and the crew put them on the bus. And so I look over, and I've got two or three little envelopes there. And the first one is just one of these little small cards, and I can tell it just has my name on the outside. And I'm holding it up right here so that I can read it for you.
Right.
But the inside of it, I open it up, and it's just real simple little note. Louis Giglio, thank you for your commitment to the young people of this generation. I believe in your vision for the Passion Conference and one day bringing that to the rest of the world. So this is our very first night, Thursday night,
yeah,
first stop. You know, we're just a couple of weeks away from Passion 07 where we talked about our world vision. I believe in your vision for the Passion Conference and one day bringing that to the rest of the world. May God continue to expand your vision and bring it to pass.
Yeah.
In Christ. And then it's a person's name.
Yeah.
And I thought, how nice. You know, here we are all the way in Arizona. That's a long way from Atlanta, Georgia,
right,
where Passion 07 was. And then I noticed there in the envelope is a check folded in half. And I'm like, no way. Open it up, and there's a check made out to the Passion Conference World Tour for $7,000.
Holy cow.
And I am absolutely freaking out. I'm just thinking, God, you know, if there was any way you could put wind in our sails more than that, this person who lives out in Arizona, I don't know how they found out about the world tour.
Yeah.
Maybe they were at Passion 07. Maybe they had kids that were at Passion 07. Maybe they watched the stream online. I don't know how it all came down. I got out of my bunk, woke Chris up, you know, and I said, Chris, are you awake in there? You're not going to believe this. I just got this note from this lady, and unbelievable. And the next morning he said to me, he said, did you wake me up last night and tell me that someone gave $7,000 to the World Tour? And I said, yeah, is that not amazing? And so it was just one of those deals, Eddie, that here we are launching out on this thing, and it was just God just breathing on us saying,
yeah,
not only am I with you on this tour, but I'm with you on the vision of Passion. And it was just it was just one of those moments where it was like God just pulled the little curtain on my bunk back and stuck his head in and said, hey, it's been a couple of weeks since Passion, but I'm still on that world tour idea.
That's cool. Man, that's amazing. And you guys, I mean, you're nowhere near done. I mean, there's so much more left of the tour. I mean, we've still got a long ways to go.
We looked on the back of the tour, you know, our little credential, whatever, has the whole tour dates on the back of it. And in Houston, I just looked down and I went, Chris, and I put my finger over the ones we've done. And then all the ones we haven't done was still on the bottom. And I went, we haven't even gotten started good on this tour yet. And it's already been pretty phenomenal.
That's cool. And so you're headed out. I mean, today is Tuesday when we're recording this. You're headed out tomorrow again. On Thursday, you're headed to Milwaukee.
Going up to the frozen tundra, which is going to be sub-zero temperatures. It's going to be a little different than Las Vegas.
I know. Milwaukee on the 8th, Minnesota on the 9th, Chicago on Saturday. You get to mourn with all the Bears fans.
Yes.
And that one sold out, isn't it?
Chicago's already sold out.
So that one's done.
Chicago.
Then headed from the frozen tundra all the way back to beautiful, sunny L.A.
Yes, we're going to the Grammys on Sunday night. Chris is nominated for 2 Grammys, and all of us at Six Steps are pretty stunned by that whole event. So we'll be out there for the Grammys Sunday.
That's
and
gonna be awesome.
Then back to Chicago and mm-hmm. jumping on the bus and going, I think, to
Columbus,
the home of the Ohio State University.
That's correct. They're very proper about that.
Yeah, they have the article in there with it.
So Columbus on Tuesday the 13th, East Lansing, Michigan on Valentine's Day.
Isn't that awesome just to think that you can come out on Valentine's Day and just share a great night of worship like that?
It's a nice little gift you could give to somebody there. So you're going from there to Fairfax, Virginia, which is another sold out. That's on the 16th, but that one's sold out as well.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. Those people in the D.C. area are they're crazy.
They're pretty fired up.
Yes, based on our 2 stops in D.C. last year, the fact that this thing is sold out in the Patriot Center, it's going to be really amazing. It's going to be
cool.
A fun night.
And then headed to East Rutherford, New Jersey. So going from D.C. to kind of the New York area on the 18th.
Sunday night, we'll be in outside of New York City, and that's one of our favorite places in all the world. So that's going to
be awesome.
Exciting.
And then to Cleveland, Ohio on the 21st, out to Lancaster, Pennsylvania on the 22nd, which is going to be another crazy, amazing night.
That one's already sold out, too. I'm like, what is going on in
Lancaster, Pennsylvania?
It's been sold out almost. It was sold out before the tour started, so I don't know what
you
guys
crazy.
Are doing up in Lancaster, but way to go. It might
right
be, it's going to be fun.
So Lancaster, and then finally to Cincinnati, Ohio on the 24th, and that's not the end, but that's, you know,
that's kind of
the next
little
big stop.
Jaunt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, by the way, we're not sure what's going on in Cincinnati. We haven't heard from a lot of the Cincinnati people. We've been having these amazing nights, and lots of folks are showing up. So if you're in Cincinnati or around Cincinnati, you may not know that the How Great Is Our God tour is coming based
right
on the ticket sales at this point, but we are headed your way. And
so,
if you're
in Cincinnati, or if you know somebody in Cincinnati, give them a call.
Or if you're thinking about moving to Cincinnati, or if you're not in Cincinnati and would like to just come up to Cincinnati for a few days, any of those options would work.
So that's what's going on the How Great Is Our God tour. But there's, like we said a second ago, we've got Charlie out on tour and David's out playing different places. So you can find out more information about both of those guys at sixstepsrecords.com. And then also just to give people a heads up, coming up quickly here in May, we've got the Thirsty Conference that's going to be happening here in Atlanta. That's for college ministry leaders. And so you can find out all the information there is at 268generation.com. So that's what we've got going on in All World. We'll come back in just a second and kind of highlight some stories from Passion of 7, some pretty amazing stuff that we've heard back, changes that have happened in people's lives, and also give you a little bit of information about how you can share your story with us as well. So stay tuned with us.
We're back on the Passion 07 podcast,
yeah.
And one of the great emails we got, Eddie, on the first leg of the tour, and I don't see every email that comes through, obviously, but I did get this one, and it came from a girl in Florida, your old stomping ground. at the University of Florida, and which I think your brother is at the University of Florida.
Gator.
So let's hear it for the Gators today. They are the national
Gators.
Champions, by the way, in football.
They're pretty proud of that, too.
And the national champions in basketball currently.
First time ever.
And they are very highly ranked in basketball again this year. If not number one, they're right up near the top.
I think they are. I don't know if they're number one or not, but
yeah,
they're at the top.
Let's hear it for the Gators. You know, amazing. I'd like to just shout out to Florida Gators, by the way.
Okay.
Right now, they were the national football champions, demolished the Ohio State University in the championship game. Phenomenal season. Congratulations to Urban Meyer and all the University of Florida nation out there. Amazing season. Only one loss in the entire season.
And I knew this
was coming. Phenomenal. Just that they only lost, went through the whole season, national champs, unstoppable.
Who did they lose to?
Let me think about it. Let's see. They lost one game. I know it was an away game. Oh, it was to Auburn University.
That's the one game they lost.
That's right. I remember it now. It was a couple of block punts, turned the game around, and Auburn actually beat Florida at Auburn. Yeah, that's what happened. I remember
Shameless
it now.
Promotion for Auburn University on the Passion of Southern podcast.
Anyway, War Eagle and go Gators. We got this email from the student at Florida, Eddie, and it just, I read it out loud on the bus, and I said, that's got to be the best email that we've ever gotten, you know, and that's me being overdramatic again, like I mentioned before. I got that from Chris, but it just, it said everything Passion is about, and now it's, you know, already February now. Passion is a month old. It's back there in our memory somewhere, but, you know, I've been seeing a lot of comments on Facebook and been getting some messages from people just talking about stuff that's still trickling along, which has been really encouraging to me. But at the same time, this email, it nailed it for us because the whole theme of it was shine, which is go live in the darkness, go share whatever it is that God's doing in your life with the lives of other people. And if that doesn't happen, then what's the point of 22 or 3,000 people coming into a building and talking about how great God is if that doesn't somehow trickle back into family, into where we work, where we hang out, the people we go to school with, the people in our fraternities and sororities and that sort of thing. And so when this email came from this girl named Ashley, and I just was blown away by it.
Yeah,
and I'd love to share it with people. We put it on our blog, but
yeah, it's up there.
I think
right
more people are probably listening to the podcast and are listening or watching and reading the blog. So
yeah, I'll dive into it and read a little bit.
Okay, you're gonna read it for everybody.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
So this is the email that we got into our office from Ashley. She wrote in saying, "I'm a senior at the University of Florida. I got a new roommate this semester, and she's a Christian. And I've never really been into the whole Christian thing because every pastor or speaker that I've ever listened to didn't speak in a language that I could understand. I believed in God and Jesus, but never really understood it because the preachers at the church that I've always been forced to go to every Sunday of my life, they speak all high and mighty, and I've never really felt connected, and I felt like God was only for the perfect people. Well, my roommate went to this Passion conference over winter break, and she came back and moved into my apartment, and she was real and genuine about all her Christian stuff, like I had never seen before in a person. She said that God changed her at this conference, so I was like, what are you talking about? And she told me. She told me about how God was cool and about how God really wanted a deeper relationship with her and how she really wanted to love God the way he loved her. So, of course, I was like, what? So she said, you need to listen to Louie talk about God. So I asked who Louie was, and she put on the indescribable talk. And then we watched the passport talk. And in the passport talk, you said that Christians do not have to hope for the best at the end, that they don't have to do enough good stuff. You explain how to get to heaven in a simple way, in a way that I've never heard before. I actually got it. I got that it is not about being so good, because I'm not a good person. I've screwed up a lot. But then you said grace and talked about how it was different than any other religion, because God is a loving and a kind God who wants to forgive me. My roommate then explained that he wants to forgive me. Now for the reasons I'm thanking you. One, I'm now a Christian. And two, my roommate said that she had never really cared about telling others about how much God loved her before she went to this conference. So though I'm not sure who will ever read this, please tell Louie thanks for me for talking about Christ in a way that a college kid can understand. I know that Jesus has changed my life, and as I get ready to graduate in May, I'm going to be a different person. I'm sorry this is kind of rambling, but I just had to tell you now that I know about the grace of God, and I have life for the first time in my 22 years. Signed, Ashley. Isn't that unbelievable?
I'm just telling you, man, I'm about to jump up out of my skin just hearing you read that again. And wow, you know,
it's
praise
cool.
God. That's all you can really say. And for her to sign that and say, I know that I'm alive,
Yeah.
You know? And I keep coming back to that song that Chris sang at Passion. Mm-hmm. I know that you're alive.
Right.
And that you've come to fix my broken life.
Yep.
And then to be able to touch into Christ and then be able to say, because of his life, I know that I'm alive for the first time in my 22 years. And that's what we've said over and over and over, talking about the philosophy of Passion.
Yeah.
That there are 16 million college students in this nation. 80% of them sleep every night without any idea.
Yeah.
And now here's Ashley, who's come from that 80% over into the 20% to say, for the first time in 22 years, I know that I'm alive. And that's I'm about cool. to graduate college, and you know how big of a transition that is for life, that she has this confidence now that she has a relationship with God. And I just want to, you know, she said, I don't know who'll ever read this. And I'm like, well, a lot of people have read it. Yeah. It was on our blog. It got about 80 comments instantly on our blog.
Right.
Because college students love hearing from other college students, and instantly people saying, Ashley, this amazing, you know, welcome to the family. You know, we're excited for you. But I just also want to say a huge word of encouragement to Ashley's roommate.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about coming home from Passion and not just saying, you know, oh, God, you know, is great and he's wonderful and it's all about his glory and all the phrases that we do want to talk about, but just saying, I had an experience with God. That's mm-hmm. disarming to people. They can't say, yeah. no, you didn't.
Right.
You know, I came to figure out that God wants me to go deeper with him. No, he doesn't. You know, people can't refute your own personal experiences with God. And so yeah. if you don't couch it in, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that, you just say, this is what God's doing in my life. People go, what are you talking about? And I love that. Ashley is just straight up, hey, who is this Louis guy? I love the attitude in her voice when she said she went to this thing over winter break called Passion Conference.
Yeah,
like you could just
that?
Kind of feel a little like whatever in her voice. And then she finally said to her, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
that is the question, Eddie, that I really feel like we're missing in Christianity. Mm-hmm. The problem is we're not talking about anything.
Right.
And when we start talking about what God's doing in our lives, most of the time our friends and roommates like Ashley will say, what are you talking about? Hmm. And then we can tell them what we're talking about, which is so much easier than going, could we have a conversation about God? You know, that's just always right. so awkward. But if you just tell them what God's doing in your life, or we tell other people what he's doing in our lives, they say, what? Huh?
Yeah.
Excuse me? And then you can tell them, and they may say, wow, I want to hear more about that. Like Ashley, they may say, interesting, I don't believe in all that stuff. We don't know how they're going to respond, mm-hmm. but there's an openness there that's amazing. And Ashley, I don't know if you're going to hear this podcast or not. I asked Ashley, by the way, I emailed her back and just said, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And this is the best email we've gotten in a long, long time. We're so happy for you. Can I share this on our blog? And I won't
right.
put your name on it, you know,
sure.
but can I just share it on the blog? She said, I'd love for you to share on the blog and please put my name on there. There are like a billion Ashleys in college
right.
campuses and a
sure.
bunch at Florida, so nobody's going to know it's me. But she wanted people to hear her story, and I don't know
cool.
if I didn't ask her if we could share it and read it on the podcast, but I figured she wouldn't care. So
that's
Ashley,
cool.
a lot of people did, in fact, read your letter, and a lot of people have been really encouraged and challenged by it, and we're praying for you. And,
yeah.
you know, life's not going to be perfect, but I know you can sense that it's different, and we're praying for you right now that you'll just mm-hmm. continue to just follow that voice of God that's leading you forward now, and praying for you and your roommate both, and thank you for taking the time to share that story with us and letting
yeah.
us share it with everybody else.
And there's plenty of stories out there from people that have been at Passion 07. There's got to be, you know, a number of stories that are like that, but different in their own way. People just in their own stream of life and how God met them at Passion 07 and what's happened on their campus since then.
And we've come up with an idea.
We have.
We're thinking we would like for you guys out there listening to the podcast to mm-hmm. be on the podcast.
This is a big deal.
We would like to hear your story.
Right.
And granted, we're not set up, you know, like your big time AM radio people where you can call in
quite.
And we've got a listener calling from wherever, you know. So we're going to have to do it a little bit differently, but I thought if Ashley's got a story like this, I would love to hear some more stories. And
yeah.
it could simply be how you got to Passion 07 or something God did in your heart at Passion 07. Someone had sent me a message on Facebook just talking about the fact that they'd come with their family at the last minute. Someone dropped out. They ended up coming. They, I think, were younger than a high school senior, and so mm-hmm. they couldn't be in a community group, and they really couldn't be involved, but they came to the main session with their parents who were volunteering or leading a group, I don't remember, and God just absolutely landed on this high school student's heart. And it's just amazing. So it could be a little thing like that.
Right.
Or it could be I'm home now and I've led my roommate to a relationship with Jesus, like Ashley. Or it could be I'm home now and I'm figuring out what do something now means for me.
Yeah.
Or it could be as a group, we're doing something now and our project's going great. We want to give you guys an update. We're raising money for One Verse or Cure International or whatever the cause is. And so how can people do that, Eddie? You set this up for us.
We've got it set up. And it's
man,
working.
I hope somebody does this. This is going to be a huge letdown if nobody takes us up on this. You know, we always talk about getting emails, and I think we've gotten six total now. So if that same thing happens on this deal, it's going to be really sad. So please listen to Eddie. He's going to tell you how you can share your story on the Passion 07 podcast, and hopefully it's going to be amazing.
So we've got a number, and it's posted right now on 268blog.com. So go there right now. Write this down if you need to. It's 268blog.com if you've never been there before. And just scroll down, you'll find a post there that says something like, your story on the Passion 07 podcast. And inside that post is a telephone number. And if you call that telephone number,
it's not a toll-free number, by the way.
It's not a toll-free number.
So you're going to have to pay a little bit for this call, but you're only going to be on the phone for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, and less than a minute.
Yeah, and most of your moms and dads are paying for your cell phone bill anyway, so it's going to work out.
So just give us a call. So it's a number here in Atlanta, and you can give us a call and leave us a message, and I'll tell you the instructions when you call in, but we just need your name. We need to know what school you go to or what ministry you're involved with. And just a 30-second or less story. So you need to work on your story and get it whittled down so it's 30 seconds or less. And just tell us what God's done in your life, either at Passion or after Passion, just like we've been talking about. And then, you know, in previous or in weeks following in the podcast, we can take some of those little bits, those snapshots, and share them back with people.
That's going to be cool. I know everybody's tired of hearing me talk and hearing us talk by now. So be a chance to hear yourself, tell your own story. Make sure that you don't use your last name.
That's important. That's important.
So just tell us your first name and where you're calling from. Yep. So like, hi, I'm Ben. I'm a student at UT Chattanooga.
Exactly.
And this is what God did in my life at Passion 07, or this is what God's doing in my life as a result of Passion 07. Exactly. And I know a lot of you have other stories out there that are really great, and those are fantastic. And maybe in another day, in another podcast, we'll hear some other stories. But we want these stories to be about Passion 07, something God spoke to you, encouraged you in, a relationship that happened while you were there, someone that you met, an opportunity that you were exposed to, and the way now God's using that a month later. I want people to hear that, A, God did amazing things there, but that now all these weeks later, God's still doing incredible things. And as we say around here, the ripples are still going out from Passion 07.
So that's how you can get connected with us. Go to 268blog.com, find that number, give us a call and leave us your story, and then listen back in next week and the week after that, and you may hear your story on there.
That'd be cool.
Be pretty cool. So that's what we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in to the Passion 07 podcast. There's so much stuff going on out there. I mean, we could talk for hours about what's going on in the world of Passion. We've got another iTunes bundle coming up this next week that's going to be coming to iTunes.
Yeah, this next Tuesday, so a week from today. This bundle's coming out, has Shine from the last session when the banners were going up with Matt Redman, has Crowder's new song, Oh, the Glory of It All, which is just such a great song
and
such
cool.
an amazing song for the Passion movement. And then it has the talk there, an after party for all nations. And so that's bundle number two. Bundle number one is still up and going at iTunes, and obviously you will stay there, but bundle number two comes out next Tuesday. We're going to try to get the iTunes people to put it in the right section on the first day so that everybody can find it. But, you know, we've tried in the past, but we'll just see what happens there. But we want you to spread the word and grab the bundle, not just the songs, but grab the whole thing. It's only $3.49. I thought we were going to maybe get the number one bundle with the last one with Francis's talk. I thought, man, that's our best chance we've ever had. Feedback to that talk's obviously so outrageous.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to number eight, which is
good.
It was good. It wasn't quite where we wanted to get to. So we're wanting you guys to get behind this, get behind what's going on. Make a big statement out there at iTunes, and you know you can always get it for yourself for $3.49 and then gift it to a friend or to your small group or to your folks back home or friends that are back home or friends at a different school. So listen well, listen with integrity, grab on, support the movement is what I'm saying, and it's going to be exciting. The third bundle, by the way, is going to be incredible.
Yeah, it'll be
awesome. 3 weeks after this one comes out on Tuesday, and we are still working on a little Passion album. Some of you guys are going to ask about that. Looks like it's going to come out a little bit later than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
We talked through with our partners at EMI yesterday about it, and I think it's probably going to be a back to school kind of thing as opposed to a graduation end of school kind of thing in May. So stay tuned, and more details about that will be coming down the road.
Cool. So that's the Passion of Seven podcast for today. Thanks for listening in. Check back in at 268blog.com. Leave us your stories. Tell us what's going on. And then come back here next week for the Passion of Seven podcast. And maybe we'll see you out on the road on the How Great Is Our God tour.
You'll definitely see me out there.
We'll see you next week.